Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Master, him that proclaimeth the gospel of the holy apostle and evangelist Matthew.
May God, through the intercessions of the holy glorious apostle and evangelist Matthew, grant utterance with great power unto thee that proclaimest the good tidings, unto the fulfillment of the gospel of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wisdom, attend. Let us hear the holy gospel.
Peace be to all.
And to thy spirit.
The reading of the holy gospel according to Matthew. Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
as many of you probably know already, or if you don't know, you should know, that Vespers in the liturgical cycle of the Orthodox Church is the first service of the next day. We retain the system of counting days that we inherited from the ancient Hebrews. That is, the evening is the beginning of the next day. What that means is that we have, as of now, begun our Paschal Vigil. This service is of Great and Holy Saturday is resurrectional in character by anticipation. We don't have to wait until tomorrow because, unlike the disciples and the myrrh-bearing women, we already know the outcome of these tremendous events which we commemorate. And so this service is called in the service books the First Resurrection. It's a vesperal liturgy. We start with Vespers and then we begin the liturgy halfway through Vespers, which means we've already begun the next day. We've already begun our celebration of the Lord's Pascha. We read the Gospel from St. Matthew, telling about the first encounter that the women had with Christ when he had risen from the dead. And this day, while we anticipate the resurrection of Christ and while we look forward to it with great eagerness, remains still the Sabbath day. It remains still, as we say in English, Saturday, but in most other languages of the world, it's Sabbath, Sabado. It's the Sabbath. And even this day, even this particular event, was foretold in the scriptures. Foretold at the beginning, whenever God made the heavens and the earth and all of the various steps that he took to create all things and to make them all good. And on the sixth day, the ultimate aspect of his creation, ultimate not just in the last sense, but also in the best sense, the crown of God's creation was man. And then we're told strangely in the book of Genesis that on the seventh day, God rested. Which is kind of peculiar. What does it mean that God would rest? Does he ever stop doing things? Does he ever cease his activity? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, my Father works on the Sabbath day and I also work on the Sabbath day. Christ tells us, obviously, the Sabbath day is not a day in which God the Father stops. He never ceases to uphold his creation. He never ceases to continue to create. So it's rather peculiar that the book of Genesis would tell us that on the seventh day, after having made everything, the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, then God rested. Well, the reason that's a curious thing is because this is what we would call a symbol or a type. It's a prophecy. It looks forward to something, the great Sabbath rest. So God, even though he had finished creating everything, nevertheless he continued to sustain it through his good will by his almighty power. And yet he told Moses on the seventh day God rested. And that brings us to this day, the days of Holy Week. In many ways, parallel the days of the creation. Because we know that from the beginning when God had created man, he had created him on the sixth day. And the fathers tell us almost universally that while man was created on the sixth day, on the sixth hour of that very same day, he stretched out his hand to take the fruit that he had been forbidden to take. If you listen to the hymns that we sang last night and yesterday all day, it's very clear. The parallels between Adam and Christ are astounding. The sixth hour, Adam stretched out his hands to take the fruit. At the sixth hour, Christ stretched out his hands to be nailed to the cross. Adam was cast out of paradise as a result of his transgression. And Christ reopens paradise as a result of his ultimate obedience to his Father. And so, this is the day that was foretold in the ancient scriptures. This is the day which was predicted by the Sabbath on which God rested. Because The sorry condition of the human race was one which elicited the pity of God. God's expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise and all the subsequent things that came upon them were not the manifestation of God's wrath, but rather the manifestation of God's mercy. God appointed for Adam to die so that his sinful and corrupt condition would not become immortal. You see, that had to be undone. Once Adam had invited sin and corruption into his life, he could not be permitted to live forever. The mercy of God would not permit it. Sometimes we look at those passages and we say, God, it's like he's beating stubborn children or something. No, you did what I told you not to do. Now you have to suffer your punishment. No. God has arranged all things mercifully so that Adam and Eve could be redeemed from their sin. And so, we're told in the scriptures, in the hymns of the church, how Christ's descent to the earth was a search for Adam. It's poetic, you understand. It's not like Christ didn't know where Adam was. But he came to earth seeking Adam. And the Lamentations we sang last night, not finding him here, he went to find him in hell. Christ humbles himself to the form of a servant. He becomes small from the magnitude of his divinity. He becomes small like you and me. And then from that point further, he even makes himself smaller. Small enough to enter Hades and to redeem those who had died in all the ages past. So you see, the sentence of death which was visited upon Adam and Eve was not one of punishment, it's one of therapy, one of correction. It allowed them to put off sin and corruption for all eternity and to be renewed to the state which they were created for. And so, having done all of this throughout the week of Holy Week, which again parallels those days of creation, we come to the great and glorious Sabbath. This is the day that was foretold, on which God rests. And the rest of God is the sleep of death. Christ is taken down from the cross urgently. Urgently, get him down off of the cross before the Sabbath gets here. Why? It's not for the reason that they said. It's so that he could rest. They laid him in the tomb like one asleep. And they bound him up with grave clothes, like tucking a child into bed. And he slept, as the hymns say, a life-giving sleep. And yet, even on this Sabbath, when God incarnate sleeps in the tomb, even here, he does not rest. Because with his all-holy soul, he descends into Hades and looses the bonds of the prisoners. And then the next day comes, the day after the Sabbath, on which the resurrection is proclaimed to the women and to the disciples, initiating and inaugurating the age of the kingdom. Christ rises from the dead. And as St. Paul tells us, is no longer subject to death. This is the new thing under the sun. This is the life which Adam and Eve were created to live, and we, their descendants, are, can I say it, foreordained to inherit. This is what God has made us for eternal life, not according to the corrupt and sinful condition of this world, but for the life of immortality in purity with God in his heavenly kingdom. And so, even though this is the great Sabbath rest, even here Christ works, loosing the bonds of the prisoners, breaking the powers of hell. And this one, this Sabbath, continues to point forward, continues to indicate something which is yet to come, something which you and I eagerly anticipate with great zeal and joy. And that is the full and final coming of the kingdom, in which, as St. Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. And we will inherit the kingdom that our Father has foreordained for us to inherit from before the world was. To Christ, our great Lord and Savior, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.